Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good morning and welcome to the Scottish Suns Weekly Football Podcast. My name is Andy Devlin, and joining me this morning are my colleagues David Friel and Gareth Law. First of all, gentlemen, we'll take a look back to last night's Champions League game between Celtic and Mönchengladbach at Celtic Park. David, you and I were both there. Celtic were fueled by optimism on the back of their 3-3 draw with Manchester City, but it didn't quite go to plan.
No, I mean, it turned into a bit of a damp squib from Celtic's perspective, I think, Andy. It was, I think they were beaten by the better team in the night. I was really impressed with Mönchengladbach. I thought the way they worked as a team, they moved the ball, their fitness, energy, everything you want in a team. I thought they were excellent. I don't think Celtic played anywhere near as good as they can, but take nothing away from the Germans. I thought they were really, really impressive. And although the two goals were gifts, I think they were well worthy of the win.
Yeah, alarmingly for Celtic, that was without five first-team regulars who you expect to be fit for the return in Borussia Park in a fortnight's time. In terms of Celtic's European aspirations, has this done for them in terms of European football beyond Christmas?
I think so. I mean, you're looking at the Barcelona-Man City games, which are the final two in the group. I think you're going to be doing very well to take anything from those games. So I think Celtic now really need to go to Germany and win the game. And as you're saying, on the basis of last night and the fact that Mönchengladbach will have a couple of players back, a couple of their best players back, then it's going to be a tall order. You know, before the game, I suppose, you know, a lot of reports of their demise and everybody's missing and they're there for the taking, and I think everybody kind of bought into that, but it didn't prove to be the case. I was really impressed, and you can see why they finished so high up in the Bundesliga last season.
Gareth, were you surprised it was as flat, not just Celtic's performance, but perhaps the atmosphere, because everybody talks about the cauldron that is Celtic Park on nights like this, but you know, Celtic didn't start well and everything just seemed to kind of fall flat a bit.
I think they kind of fueled each other as well, and when Celtic started so sloppily, it was hard for then the fans to get behind them. David said, I think it was a really poor start, which then kind of summed up how things went for the rest of the night. I think obviously Kolo Torre's taking plenty of the criticism this morning, and rightly so, for the two mistakes he made last night. I actually thought until he made his first mistake, he was one of their better players last night. He had a few last ditch tackles, and yeah, very, very strange to see a guy of such experience make two such naive mistakes. But yeah, back to your original question, I think there was maybe shock inside the stadium. Fans had turned up with anticipation after the Manchester City game. They were expecting better than they saw, and I think that probably took them aback.
What can you put that down to? What can Brendan Rodgers put that down to, in the sense that you start so well against Manchester City? Is it the hype surrounding that game, or was there too much pressure and expectation in Celtic last night?
Maybe a bit after the Lord Mayor's show as well, I think. I mean, it's very easy to get yourself up for a game like the Manchester City game, then against some of the best players in the world. I think, as David touched on as well, that, you know, there was all this talk about the injuries Borussia Mönchengladbach had last night. I'm not saying Celtic went into the game complacent, but maybe that just naturally takes a bit of an edge off things, possibly.
David, again, you look at Celtic's away record in Europe, it's not the best, to put it bluntly. What do they have to do differently in Germany to try and get, because realistically they're going to have to get a win over there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, because they need to go to win, but they also need to make sure they shut up shop. And I mean, they were carved open far too easily last night. I mean, the first 5 minutes, Borussia Mönchengladbach went through three times, and for all, as I say, the two goals were gifts, there were chances. Craig Gordon was pulling off saves. You know, I think Brendan Rodgers, long term at Celtic, where he's here for 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, I think he has to find a way to make Celtic tougher to beat away from home. You know, I think it's been, you can trace it back to the Martin O'Neill days, where away from home, at home Celtic are normally strong, away from home they always toil. So I think Brendan Rodgers really has to find a formula. Normally you would take a point away from home, this one's going to be totally different, because you need to go and get three. So I think he's going to have to find a balance between defence and attack.
Was the lack of chances created last night a concern as well? Because you looked at the Manchester City game, both teams going for it, you know, all out attacking football, chances at either end. Last night Celtic really toiled to create anything.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few half chances in the second half. Scott Sinclair obviously has a really good chance in the first half. Tom Rogic played him through just on half time, and in hindsight he should have probably taken another touch, cut inside, but he blazed it over the bar. And I think that just summed up Celtic's night. There was a kind of lack of composure in certain areas, especially in the middle of the park, you know. And I think, you know, Brendan Rodgers has made what, 4 or 5 signings. He's improved the team, but I think midfield is a key area now for Celtic to improve. You know, I looked at Near Beaton last night. He lasted 62 minutes. He could have been hooked at half time. He could probably been hooked before half time. Beside him, nobody else really covered themselves in glory. So I think that's the key area for Celtic long term, especially in Europe. You need to be strong in the middle of the park, and I don't think they are.
On top of that, though, I thought Mönchengladbach, you know, dealt with the front men well as well. You know, Sinclair, every time he got the ball, there were players around him.
Same with James Forrest.
They barely got a run at the Mönchengladbach defence. They were closed down quickly. So I think, as much as Celtic could have played, you know, a lot better last night, I think the Germans did very well. Their game plan, you know, went as they'd have hoped.
Well, obviously into more depth, certainly the old firm League Cup semi final. But would that have given Mark Warburton hope last night, just in terms of the way the Germans, as you say, were able to close the front men down for Celtic and stop the chances being created?
I think Rangers' defence is a different defence to the defence that Celtic came up against last night. I think Mark Warburton might look at it and think that's the way to play against Celtic, but I don't know whether he's necessarily got the players who can do such a good job. If you have a Dembele running around Rob Keenan or Clint Hill, I think that's a different prospect to what Dembele was facing last night.
Yeah. And in terms of Celtic's confidence, I mean, they were on such a high after the Manchester City game. How will this impact on them?
I think it will. It's obviously going to hit confidence, because whenever you lose a game, especially in that fashion where you've not done yourself justice, then of course there's going to be a hangover from that. But I do think the game at the weekend is a good one to bounce back in, because if it's, with all due respect to kind of one of the lesser teams, if you're going away from home somewhere, then it can maybe be, you know, you kind of feel a bit sorry for yourself. Whereas, you know, it's a national semi-final, it's at Hampden, it's against Rangers. Celtic need to pick themselves up for it.
And Brendan Rodgers, even before the game, David, we were both out at Parkhead for the pre-match press conference, he's talking about the learning curve that his team are on and his players are on, and, you know, how they'll benefit from European football, benefit from Champions League football. If anything, they'll have taken a lot in terms of how to approach the game, perhaps, in Germany from last night.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Celtic's away record. I mean, to me, the way Mönchengladbach played is an identikit for what Celtic should be trying to do. They played as a team, you know. That was, I mean, Craig Gordon made that point after the game. You know, if you look at the group, you've got Barcelona, I've got superstars, Man City, I've got superstars. Mönchengladbach don't really have any household names. You know, people that watch German football, but there's no world superstars in there. But see, as a team, that's as good as I've seen in a long time in terms of working together and moving the ball quickly. And
when you throw in the fact they're missing so many players.
It was really, really impressive to watch. To me, they were a well-drilled, organised team. They played as a unit, they played as a team. And I think that's what Celtic need to do. You know, it can't be disjointed. You can't have certain people not playing their role. You know, last night I thought every single Mönchengladbach player was on their game.
And is there a lesson learned as well, in the sense that there perhaps has to be more composure on nights like that?
100%. I mean, there was a real difference. Don't mean to pick a near beat on again. Every time he got the ball, he seemed to be under pressure. He seemed to be panicking. He was giving it away. You can see Brendan Rodgers exasperated. Whereas you look at Christoph Kramer, who, fair enough, is playing a World Cup final for Germany, but he was completely the opposite. You know, it was little passes, wee one twos, and he just looked like a guy who was so composed. Didn't matter how many times Celtic were hounding him, he was just wanting to get on the ball. He was wanting to shift the ball, and I was really impressed with the Germans last night.
You can watch the goals from all the big SPFL games on the website at thescottishsun.co.uk/sport.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. And we'll turn our attention to Sunday's second League Cup semi-final between Celtic and Rangers. As we've touched on there, Celtic looking to bounce back, and as you say, David, what a game for them, and what an opportunity for them to do so.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I think there is, you know, I think Celtic probably buried some of the ghosts from last season's Scottish Cup semi-final in the league game. You know, to win 5-1, I think that went a long way to repairing any damage and probably restoring a bit of pride in terms of the derby. But it's a totally different game. It's a neutral venue. Celtic's Hampden record isn't great, and I do think that there is always a bit of pressure on Celtic to go and deliver another performance like that. Celtic are undoubtedly favourites for the game, but I do think it'll be a bit tighter than it was the last time.
Gareth?
I agree. I think it'll be tighter. I still think Celtic will win, and I don't think they win by 4 goals, but I think I could see it being a 3-1 or something. I think Celtic, to me, still by far the better team. Rangers have improved, but not as much as they'd need to get a result against Celtic.
Mark Warburton touched yesterday on the fact that his team, he feels, certainly are in a far better place going into this game than they were the last time, in the sense that they've kept four clean sheets, a terrific win at Inverness on Friday night. What do they have to do, Gareth, this time in their attempts to kind of shore it up and keep it tighter than they didn't do at Parkhead? What has to be there?
I think right when the teams were named at Parkhead, everybody saw that it was maybe not the selection from Rangers that you'd have expected with no Andy Halliday. I think he now realises, Mark Warburton realises, that he should have started Halliday that day. Nico Kranjčar started that day and patently didn't work right from the off. So I think he needs to maybe be a bit less... I don't know whether he was overconfident going into that game, but he perhaps needs to be a bit less gung-ho. And I know he always talks about, you know, plan A and making plan A work as well as it can, but I think he also has to bear in mind the team he's up against and maybe stick in a... Like, I mean, Halliday will start after the way he's played the last few games, but yeah, a bit less gung-ho than he was that day.
Do you think he now has a plan B? Do you think he's worked that out?
Well, not so much a plan B, but maybe a slightly more solid plan A, possibly.
Mm-hmm. For you, David, is it too simplistic to say that's where the game will be won or lost, in the middle of the park?
I think it'll be a huge part of it. I think how Rangers' defence copes with Celtic's pace, you know, we spoke about Mönchengladbach, but Gareth's right, it's an entirely different prospect when you've got Moussa Dembele, James Forrest, Scott Sinclair, Patrick Roberts, Lee Griffiths, whoever plays up against, say it's Clint Hill and Rob Keirlin or whatever, you know, it is an entirely different prospect. But I think the middle of the park was where it was really won and lost last time. Joey Barton was completely dominated by Scott Brown. I think Kranjčar, it just looked a bit too much for him, really, in terms of pace. And I really like Nico Kranjčar as a player, but I just think as a three in the middle of the park, he was just a bit lost at Parkhead. Josh Windass was very good against Celtic, and I would expect him to start again. So I think Rangers will go with Andy Halliday, Jason Holt and Josh Windass to get a lot more legs and energy and impress Celtic and hound them a bit like they did in the semi-final last year. I'd be surprised if Kranjčar starts, even though he's been good in the last couple of games.
He's getting fitter,
but I just think it's a game where he might be better as a sub. But I think Rangers personnel will change from the last game. You know, Joe Garner started, I'm not sure he'll start again this time. Well, the centre-halves, I think the centre-halves the last time were Rob Keirlin and Philip Senderos. I'd be stunned if Senderos is anywhere near it. Mm-hmm. So I think there'll be a slight change in Rangers' tactics, but Mark Warburton will still go with 4-3-3. Mm-hmm. We'll always go with 4-3-3.
But you also, I mean, if the likes of James Tavernier is going to be bombing down that right hand side, they're just going to keep picking Rangers off. So I think there's almost maybe that some personnel might stay the same, but they've got to actually maybe be a bit more streetwise and a bit more, you know, play a more kind of sensible, safer game, you know, especially at the start.
A lot has happened, obviously, since September the 10th, not least with Joey Barton. Again, Warburton touched on it yesterday without kind of mentioning the player by name. He feels there's more unity now within his squad, within his ranks. I mean, I think that's evident, isn't it? You know, you've taken the bad apple out of the dressing room.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And the Rangers have certainly picked up since then.
Yeah, I don't think it's any coincidence that the team seems to be a bit more together. You know, I think Joey Barton, unless he's still got a lot to run. But I even think that Joey Barton's attitude towards Scottish football, Celtic especially, in terms of Scott Brown and he's not in my league, all that sort of stuff, I don't think that helped at all. And I think, although Mark Warburton in public defended him at the time, surely he wasn't happy with that. You know, this is a guy coming up shouting his mouth off. It backfired on him. So I think Andy Halliday, Jason Holt, well, they don't have the profile of Joey Barton, they don't have the career of Joey Barton. They're younger guys, they're hungrier. I think those guys know what it's about. I think they'll go in, they don't have any airs and graces about them. I think they'll go in ready to roll their sleeves up and get stuck in, and I think I think that's the difference. I think Joey Barton thought it was going to be too easy for him, and it wasn't.
Does Mark Warburton, Gareth, does he have a decision to make in terms of who starts in goal, because he has, you know, both Wes Fotheringham and Matt Gilts got 180 minutes in the group stages. Since then, it's been Matt Gilts. Matt Gilts spoke after the quarter final against Queen of the South and said that he fully expects to start at Hampden. He was told he was going to get the cup games.
I'm not sure if he will. I don't think. I think there might be a disappointed Matt Jocks on Sunday. Chris Boyd said it in his column in the paper on Sunday that he thinks Wes Fotheringham should start. He's ultimately the first pick, and I can see him starting. I think he's the safest pair of hands of the two, and I think David's got.
I mean, I just see this whole the keeper plays cup games. I think it's a nonsense. Yeah. Honestly, you've got a first choice keeper. It's a big game. You're playing against the best team in the country. Why would you not start your first choice keeper? I mean, see if Matt Jocks starts against. I mean, no offense to Matt Jokes, why on earth would Rangers start the second choice keeper against Celtic? It makes no sense. I hate this modern phenomenon of let's play the sub goalie in cup games. Why? The Rangers don't want to win the cup. I find it bonkers. It's just a way to keep everybody happy. I'm not having it at all. If Wes Fotheringham does not start against Celtic, I will be absolutely
don't get me wrong, I'm not totally convinced about Wes Fotheringham as a goalkeeper, but of the two, he's got to start.
And do you, I mean, with Kenny Miller, 100 goals for Rangers, you know, he reached that milestone at Inverness last week, will he start?
Yes,
I think the options they've got, and I mean, we talked about Joe Garner and you know, I would go with Kenny Miller. Any day of the week right now.
Well, see, do you know why I would start Kenny Miller? I mean, I think Kenny Miller's a better. I think Kenny Miller's Rangers' best striker still. But see against Aberdeen at Pittodrie, Kenny Miller did more in 10 minutes on the pitch than Joe Garner did in the 8. I mean, Kenny Miller's touch awareness. He made the pass for the penalty. He's just miles ahead in terms of awareness and touch and everything movement. I look at Joe Garner. I just think the guy is probably got something to offer in a different system, but the way Rangers play doesn't suit him. It doesn't suit him at all. I mean, to me, he's running about just now.
He's lost.
He looks lost.
Yeah.
And in terms of the outcome of the game, clearly the first goal in these matches are all important. Rangers need to start well, don't they?
Yes, and I think that was what won the tie last year. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously finishing a draw, extra time, finishing a draw into penalties. But I think the first half. Mm-hmm. Really set the tone for the rest of the game, and okay, Celtic had the better chances on the day, but Rangers passed the ball so much better, and they really gave Celtic a jolt, and I think they're going to have to do that again. You know, if Rangers let Celtic into their stride and let Sinclair get on the ball, Forrest, Roberts, whoever it is, then I think they're going to have a long afternoon. So Rangers have to start on the front foot.
But from a Celtic's point of view, the treble is something that has eluded them, you know, in the years in which Rangers have spent out of the top flight. They're better equipped now, David, than they have ever been to achieve that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think, if we speak about Celtic under Ronnie Dyla to Celtic now, I mean, it was a year ago this week since Celtic lost in Mulder. Mm. You know, that was one of the kind of darkest periods of Ronnie Dyla's reign. Celtic were absolutely embarrassed by a half decent Norwegian team, let's face it. So they've come on leaps and bounds. So Celtic are much better equipped to go and win a clean sweep. But I always think it's easier said than done because somewhere along the line, even in the you know Rangers 9-0 days when Celtic were in the doldrums, you would always find that these games could go either way. So I don't think it's as easy as people think, and I think Celtic have got a really tough game on Sunday.
Yeah, I do think that Celtic, another reason why I think Celtic are going to win, they've got a lot more game changers than Rangers right now. You know, you look at your Dembele's, you look at your Scott Sinclair's, you look at even you know whether Lee Griffiths starts or whether he doesn't, if he comes off the bench, he can come off the bench to change a game. You know, we talked about obviously Josh Windass playing well in that last game. I don't just see so many players. Barry Mackay's not kind of maybe hit the form that you know Rangers fans would have hoped to have seen him hit. I think that's why Celtic are far and away the strongest team right now in the division because they've got guys who can just turn it on when they need to.
Like SunSport on Facebook for all the Scottish football latest.
Before the Old Firm clash at Hampden on Sunday, of course, we have the first League Cup semi-final involving Morton and Aberdeen. 15,000 crowd expected at Hampden, we're told. Should this have been moved to another venue, do you think, Tynecastle?
I was at the Gareth Huber there as well, the United Morton game, when Morton got through and qualified, and you can see how much it meant to the club, and Jim Duffy after the game was saying we wanted to be at Hampden, all the players were saying we'd love to play at Hampden National semi-final. But then you see the ticket sales, and you envisage what Hampden's going to be like on Saturday in terms of these empty seats and wide open spaces and how it looks. 12 o'clock kickoff, and it'll be flat. And you think, well, okay, I understand Morton haven't been to Hampden, but for 35, 37 years, whatever the stat is. But in terms of atmosphere and an occasion, it would have been better Easter Road or Tynecastle, I think. So I probably changed my mind over the course of the last couple of weeks.
What will it help Morton? You know the fact that you know it isn't jam packed with Aberdeen supporters.
Not really. I think Aberdeen have had a few experiences at Hampden now as well, and so they're used to these bigger games. I think Aberdeen will win it probably fairly convincingly again. I think. I mean, I agree with with David. I think Morton would have been desperate to go to Hampden because who knows how long they'll have to wait before they get the chance to do that again.
Two managers of great admiration for, you know, Morton, Jim Duffy, and obviously Derek McInnes at Aberdeen. Incredible to think, David, that, you know, a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, there were some Morton supporters, you know, calling for Jim Duffy's head. I mean, it's inconceivable given what he's done there.
He's done a terrific job. You know, he took over a team that had very few players, got him promoted. They've consolidated in the league. He's had a horrendous injury list this year again. And, you know, Morton, to me, they're one over Queen of the South at the weekend. You know, one of the best results this season. Queen of the South have been beating everybody. Morton going beating 5-0. See, watching them, I mean, that night we watched them against Indy United at Capital, Jim Duffy shouted more than any manager I've ever heard in my life. But I'm not talking about shouted criticism or abuse. Yeah. He was talking the players through. It was like simple things.
Leading
like
taking them by the hand.
Stand there, 15 yards out. It was incredible. Yeah. It was an education to see. And he just, talking to one of the players, it says it's the most organised team he's ever been part of, because Jim Duffy tells him, when the ball's there, you should be there. See, you watch him, the big, is it Kudus Oyunoga? I mean, his ears must have been absolutely, Kudus Oyunoga. His ears must have been absolutely ringing, because Jim Duffy just, Kudus, but everything he was saying was spot on. And he played, he was playing left mid, and he played such an important role defensively that night. I mean, he got forward in him, but see, watch him, it was incredible to see a guy who clearly knows the game inside out, knows where his players should be. And, you know, to me, he's one of these guys in Scottish football that has got so much to offer. And I think it's great to see him get a lot of success with Morton. A Morton team that's quite young as well. You know, he's brought through guys like Jai Katongo.
It's going to be interesting to see how Jai Katongo plays. You know, his dad's put a bit of pressure on him now as well. So if ever there's a day to impress, then I think Saturday could be the day.
And, you know, mentioned Jim Duffy, obviously, Gareth. But, you know, Derek's obviously won this competition with Aberdeen. He's looking to reach another final. A couple of Don's legends in the paper throughout the course of this week, basically telling Aberdeen supporters to enjoy Derek McInnes while they can, because he will eventually head on to pastures new.
I think that's right, Andy. I think he had a bit of a sticky start at the start of the season, but you know, the run that they're coming in back of this game on, I mean, he's built not just a good first team unit up there, but he's got a real depth of squad there now, particularly with the signings he brought in over the summer. So I mean, I think they're quite right. I mean, whenever the day Mark Warburton leaves Rangers, you wonder if Derek McInnes will be the man who might turn up there.
I think they just look really strong. I mean, if you watched the game against Ross County last weekend, you know, you've got James Maddison, Johnny Hayes, now again Adam Ray, but a front four that is, with Shinny and Kenny playing behind them. I think that's a really good team. I think Aberdeen, I think Morton have done really well. I think Aberdeen will win that easily.
I think as well, I mean, obviously things didn't go so well for Derek at Bristol City, but I think what that maybe has done, in hindsight, he saw a lot of players when he was down there, and your James Maddisons and these guys maybe.
Reaping the benefits.
I think so, maybe, yeah.
Keep bang up to date with Scottish football by following Sun Sport on Twitter.
Three games to preview in the SPFL at the weekend. Two games on Saturday, one on Sunday. Two Highland clubs involved at the weekend. Partick Thistle, Ross County, Inverness against Kilmarnock. And what a week for Partick Thistle as well. I mean, stories yesterday emerging that, you know, Alan Archibald could be off to Shrewsbury Town.
He's clearly, I mean, this one took me by surprise, and I don't know why it should, really, to be honest. I think Alan Archibald, again, talk about Jim Duffy, but I think Alan Archibald's a kind of unsung hero in Scottish football in terms of the job he's done, you know, taking Partick Thistle up and, you know, establishing him in the league. And he's one of these guys that flies under the radar for me, you know.
He's happy doing that,
you know. He doesn't grab a lot of headlines. He's very measured in what he says, you know. You don't go up to Far Hill or Gar Scoop of the train and come away with lines galore from Alan Archibald. You know, he's very kind of subdued as a guy, but he's done a very good job, and you can understand why clubs will start looking at him. So, I mean, I don't know where he's going to go to Shrewsbury, but you can understand why they're there.
Big game for them, though, at the weekend, isn't it? You know, I think they felt they should have got all 3 points against Accies last weekend.
Well, I was there, and I think you'd have kind of, if they'd won 2-1, they would have been very happy with it. But at the same time, Accies maybe, you know, 2 each was perhaps, you couldn't begrudge them a 2 each. But for all David said there about Alan, and yes, he's done a brilliant job, this year has been a struggle for them. Mm. I actually looked at their squad at the start of the season and thought, this is one of the strongest squads he's had there to call on, because they've got a stronger bench now. They're just losing late goals all the time, and the late goals are costing them. It's almost a bit of a throwback to the first season when they came up and they couldn't get those home wins on the board. He's now going to lose Stephen Lawless as well, who's gone in for a hernia operation. So, yeah, I mean, who knows if Shrewsbury come in for him. I mean, the other thing with Alan as well, he's almost in with the bricks at Partick now. You know, he's a massive part of that club.
Longest serving manager in the SPL.
Yeah, and he kind of oversees things from top to bottom. He plays a key role in the youth system there, you know, bringing young players through. So, you know, it would be a big loss for them, despite where they are on the table just now.
We'll just quickly touch on the other two games. Kilmarnock, incredible win last weekend at St Johnstone. Watch the highlights. I mean, St Johnstone seemed to absolutely hammer them. They dug out a 1-0 win. Inverness obviously going down to Rangers on the Friday night. Another tough away trip though for Kilmarnock.
Yeah, I was stunned. I genuinely stunned that they beat St Johnstone, honestly. Nothing to do with the fact I had it in my coupon, but I couldn't see it coming. And Lee Cart seems to do this something, you know, just when you think it's really going against them. He seems to pull a wee result out the bag. Great result. I mean, not many teams will win it in the Denver Park, but it's a tough one for him.
And finally, Gareth, just St Johnstone obviously looking to get back on track against Dundee at home on the Sunday.
Yeah, they will be. I mean, Dundee will also be looking to get back on track. Mm-hmm. They fell to the bottom of the table last week, so I think there's going to be two teams there trying to put in a performance, certainly to get their managers back on side. I'm sure neither manager will have been too happy with the way their teams played last time out.
My thanks to Gareth and David, and thank you for joining us. We'll